are going to go in our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29. And we're going to read the first 14 verses of Jeremiah 29. And there's been a lot of gloom and doom in Jeremiah. But although it's been a blessing to go through it, and there's this is a letter that Jeremiah wrote to the captives that were living in Babylon. Jeremiah was still in Jerusalem, and he wrote a letter to the captives. Because if you'll remember, Nebuchadnezzar made three campaigns through Jerusalem. And it was his third campaign, military campaign, that he destroyed the temple and so many people died. But the first two campaigns, he came in and took captives. And Daniel was one of those that he took captive. And I believe Ezekiel was also one that was taken captive. But in the 29th chapter, Jeremiah writes a letter to, you know how Paul would write letters to the church at Rome or the church at Galatia or the church at Ephesus. Well, Jeremiah wrote an epistle, if you will, wrote a letter. And so let's all stand and let's read Jeremiah chapter 29. We're going to read the first 14 verses here. And if I'm going to try to preach through all 14 of these verses today. If I don't get through them, I will probably take up where I left off next week, because this is important. This stuff is important enough to where I want to cover it. But starting in verse 1, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles. In other words, those that have been exiled over into Babylon. And to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of, and these are going to be a little difficult for me to pronounce, the letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. So this is Jeremiah talking to the captives. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Here's his advice. Build houses. Live in them. Plant gardens. Eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters into marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. And you say, well, what's he saying? Let me tell you what's going on. There were false prophets that were prophesying that this captivity was going to be very short and that Nebuchadnezzar was going to get overthrown and that they were going to get to come right back to Jerusalem. And so Jeremiah was saying, no, build houses, plant gardens, take wives. And so, in other words, you guys are going to be there for a while. Yeah. That's what he was saying to them. And then, down in verse 7, he said this, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. We'll talk about that verse a little bit. Verse 8, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. Verse 11 will be a bit familiar to some of you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. And if I can, for a little while this morning, I want to preach on this here, just go down kind of verse by verse, expository fashion, like I always do. I want to talk about just Jeremiah's letter to the captives. And let's just see what God's word has for us today. Jeremiah's letter to the captives. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for your word. We pray that you would just touch. You touch minds, touch hearts. Lord, let your word be alive for us today, God. Let it go down on the inside of our ears and our hearts, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. So verse 1 here starts off, it's kind of like Dear John or Dear Joe. You know, this is Jeremiah saying who he's writing to. And it says that this letter was the surviving elders of the exiles and the priests and the prophets that had been taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So you can kind of think about it this way. If you had been taken out of your home, if the Babylonian soldiers had marched into Jerusalem, knocked at your door and said, you're coming with us, and your family is coming with us, and you had to leave your home, you had to leave everything behind, and go and live in a strange land, a land that you did not know, inhabited by people that spoke a language that you did not know. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think it's any leap of faith to say that morale probably was pretty low. Just think of how you would feel had you been one of these captives. Morale would have been pretty low. And you might have even been experiencing or fighting off feelings of depression. Because you're saying, listen, I work all my life, and I try to get ahead, and I try to provide for my family, and now look at what's happened. My home is gone, and my livelihood is gone, and I'm living here in a strange land as a captive. And Jeremiah, knowing that, and let me say this, that some of the people that got carried away into Babylon were not idol worshippers. Some of those people were good, God-fearing people that were Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord kind of people. And they're saying, wow, these people sin, but I end up having to go to Babylon. And yet, again, you get this idea that if you do good things, that good things are going to come back to you. And that works a lot of times, but not always. And I'm going to say this, that you've got to, in order to understand this whole deal, you would have to go back and read a vision that Jeremiah had. And then, Brother Carl, you're not going to feel sorry for those captives at all. Really, you know. Let me tell you a chapter. I'm not good at jumping. Let me tell you a chapter that I kind of leapfrogged over. Because I'm always worried that people are going to say, oh man, we're bogged down here. We've been in Jeremiah for so long. This is, how much longer is he going to stay in this book? And I wanted to preach out of Jeremiah chapter 24, but I didn't. But Jeremiah chapter 24, Jeremiah had a vision. And Bill, if you'll put Jeremiah 24 on there, it says, after King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken into exile from Jerusalem, Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Anyway, it says, the Lord showed me this vision. Look down at the bottom of verse number 1. It says, the Lord showed me this vision. Behold, two baskets of figs placed before the temple of the Lord. One basket had very good figs, like the first ripe figs, but the other basket had very bad figs, so bad that they could not be eaten. Verse 3. And the Lord said to me, what do you see, Jeremiah? And Jeremiah says, figs, the good figs, very good, and the bad figs, very bad, so that they cannot be eaten. And then God explains to Jeremiah what this vision is about. And here's what he says. God told Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, these good figs are the ones that are now exiles over in Babylon. Those are the good figs. But the rotted figs, the bad figs that cannot be eaten, they're of no use, they're of no good to anybody, all they just need to be destroyed. Jeremiah, those are the ones that are left in Jerusalem. Because Nebuchadnezzar's made two military campaigns through Jerusalem. And Jeremiah, he's going to make one more military campaign through there. And when he does, everybody dies. Temple gets destroyed, and everybody dies. That's the bad figs. So, the good figs, let me put it to you this way. And maybe we can learn a little lesson about life from this. You had people over in Babylon, Brother Robert, that they were saying, man, we're captives over here. Why? Why did this happen to us? Why did we get taken captive? And so-and-so, my next-door neighbor, he didn't get taken captive. He still has his home in Jerusalem. He's still there. But yet me and my wife and kids, we're over here in Babylon now. God was telling Jeremiah, the ones that are the good figs, I've taken them up, and I've removed them and put them over here in Babylon where they'll be safe. Because when Nebuchadnezzar comes through with his third campaign, it's going to get leveled to the ground, friend, and blood's going to flow in the streets. So now, let me ask you, now do you feel so sorry for those captives over in Babylon? No. It seemed like a bad thing. But did you know sometimes things can happen in your life that seem bad, and they seem negative, and they seem awful, and you say, God, why did you let this happen to me? not knowing that God's wisdom is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And God might be saving you from something else that would be far worse. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
God might be saving you from something else that could be far worse.
Right.
And so, you just got to let God be God in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And just say, God, I do not understand, but I do not doubt you anymore. Romans chapter 8, and you've heard this quoted so many times. And we know that for those who love good, all things work together. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. We know that ultimately, things just have a way of working out, Brother Johnson. That it might seem bad. And you say, man, why does this have to happen to me? But we know that all things work ultimately for good to those who are called according to His purpose.
Yes.
And the very next verse says, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. God foreknew you. God predestined you to be conformed to the image of His Son. You'll remember, Joseph was just a good guy doing good things. Joseph wasn't hurting anybody. Let me put it to you this way. Brian, you'll appreciate this logic. In Genesis, Joseph didn't smoke, and Joseph didn't chew, and Joseph didn't run with girls who did. Okay? Does anybody not understand that and need clarification? He's just trying to live a godly life. He's just trying to, and his brothers are jealous over him. You know the story. His brothers sell him into slavery down in Egypt. His brothers sell him into slavery. He goes in and he's a slave in Potiphar's house. And then guess what? He gets accused of a crime that he doesn't commit. And then ends up in prison for a crime he didn't commit. It just seemed like everything was going wrong. Joseph does all the right things and all the wrong things happen. But you know the story about how the king had the dream. Pharaoh had the dream about the 7 fat cows and the 7 skinny cows. Sister Wiggins, that makes me want to buy some of those skinny cows, those ice cream girls at the store. There's these ice cream. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I need prayer right now. Oh, I want some of those skinny cows so bad. Huh? They're not very skinny, no. I don't know why they call them. Whoever made up that title was a liar, man. But Pharaoh had the vision of the fat cows and the skinny cows, and the skinny cows ate the fat cows. And remember, nobody could interpret the dream. And it was Joseph that went before Pharaoh and said, oh, the 7 cows are 7 good fat years. And then after that, it's going to come 7 years of famine. And the famine is going to be so bad that it's going to eat up all the goodness of those fat years. And if you're not careful, Pharaoh, if you're not careful, everybody's going to starve. Everybody's going to die of hunger. Pharaoh, you need to look and find a man with wisdom and understanding that can plan. And Pharaoh said, I'm looking at Joseph. I think we all know that story. How that Joseph stockpiled all this grain. And Joseph
make provision. And when the seven bad years came, Joseph, through the wisdom that God gave him, had enough food stored up for all of the land of Egypt and even some of the outlying areas. And everybody was coming. And if you remember, at that time, Joseph was one more hot shot in the kingdom. And he was one of those ones that, he's Mr. Joseph to you. You understand that? He's riding in Pharaoh's chariots. He's wearing Pharaoh's garments. He's eating at Pharaoh's table. He's one of the most important dudes in the kingdom. And then here comes his brothers that sold him into slavery. Have some food, please. And if you remember, his brothers, when they found out who he was, and that this important dude that's second only to the throne is actually the brother they sold as a slave, they thought, you know what, we're dead. Let's just pray that he kills us, that it's quick. Let's pray that he doesn't kill us slow. But Joseph said this, and if you can give me that passage out of Genesis, I think it's like Genesis 50 or something like that. Yeah, Genesis 50 and 20. Joseph told him, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. When those captives over in Babylon got there, living in a strange land, they just said, this is evil, this is wrong, this is bad, how come this evil has come upon us? Basically what Jeremiah, if you understand the parable of those figs, Jeremiah was saying, listen, you think this is evil. This is actually the mercy of God. God's getting you out of Jerusalem before the blood starts flowing in the streets. You think this is evil? This is God's kindness. And this is God's mercy. And I would encourage everybody here, leave things to God in His wisdom. It might seem painful. And there might be dark days, and man, I've walked through them to say, why? 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 I don't. And I've had people come to me and say, Brother Wiggins, Pastor Wiggins, why? Why did this happen? Why? Man, I don't know. I don't know. But all I can say is that they meant it for evil, but God can mean it for good. And ultimately, all things work to the good. And so, those captives getting carried away into Babylon was an escape, and they didn't even know it. They didn't even know it. You know, I saw... Am I all right? It says, I don't want to bore you guys to tears.
You're good.
I saw a photo years ago. I wish I could find it. It's a grown man. You know, I've heard the old saying, that could make a grown man cry. Brother Johnson, he was a grown man. And he had tears just flowing down his cheeks. And he was at the airport. And I can sympathize with this. Brother Johnson, he was at the airport and he had missed his flight. And it was an important flight. And a news reporter took a photo of him with his ticket. And he was bawling his eyes out because he had missed his flight. Mm-hmm. His flight was one of the planes that flew to the World Trade Center. And all the way to the airport, rushing to try to get there. Why? Why did this happen? Why did this delay happen? Why did this traffic jam happen? Why did everything go wrong this morning? No, I tried so hard to be at the airport early. I did everything right, and everything went wrong, and I missed the plane. Why?
God saved him from dying.
Indeed, Sister Clara. Indeed. Sometimes what might be evil circumstances to you could actually be God showing mercy on you and getting you out of a situation where you could be harmed. And that's why I've learned over the years, let's just let God be God. Let's just let Him be on the throne, and let's just say, I don't understand it, but that's okay. That's okay. I don't need to understand it all. I'm not going to get through all these 14 verses. I get too busy. I need to be more concise. But I get to think of while I'm preaching, well, if I say it like this, they're going to understand it better. And so I got to say it like this and that. And next thing I know, I look up at the clock and, oh, my. And we are almost at 11:30 here. I want to just comment on verse 5. And I don't know that I'm even going to get through verse 5 today. But let me just say a couple things about verse 5, and then maybe we start off with the first 5 weeks. Jeremiah's advice to them down in Babylon, build houses, live in them, plant gardens. You know what? Go ahead and get married. Start raising a family. And you say, why? And I already explained it when I was reading through the text. There were some false prophets over there in Babylon. Guys that they were masquerading as prophets, or maybe they had just deceived themselves into thinking that they were really hearing the voice of God. But they weren't. And I don't need to dwell on this. I've already talked a whole lot about, you know, let's depend on God's Word. We know that the Bible's right, but when somebody gets up here and says, oh, God told me this, oh, God told me that, you know what? I know that I can trust the Word of God.
Yes.
And I've seen too many things. I know too many horror stories from God spoke to me. So. But these false prophets were saying prosperity's around the corner. God is fixing to overthrow Nebuchadnezzar. And the greatest revival to sweep the land ever is coming. And you're going to get to go back to Jerusalem. It's going to be twice as good as it was before. The blessings of God's going to be on you. Everything's going to be. And Jeremiah said, you're in Babylon. They're telling you that within a few months that you're going to be back in Jerusalem. You want to know what I say, folks? Build a house. Go ahead. Build a house. Robert, go ahead and lay some forms and pour concrete driveway. Okay? Robert, go ahead and make a little place out in the back of the house where you can put a table and an umbrella and where me and Sister Wiggins can come over and sit around and drink iced tea like we've done it. Because Jeremiah was saying, you're going to be there for a while. This isn't going to turn around quickly. And this is the last thing I'm going to say. And man, I really thought I was going to talk farther today. I'm not a gambling man, Brother Brian, but I would bet you money that I was going to be farther than this. Sometimes, even though God's hand is on the situation, and God's protection, God's blessing, it doesn't always turn around quick. doesn't always happen fast. In fact, if you remember Joseph down there in prison, does anybody remember the story? The guy, the cupbearer that would give the wine to Pharaoh? And if I know my history right, I think that they like that cupbearer to kind of maybe even taste a little bit of the goods to make sure there was no poison in it. So it's like, I have the cupbearer, drink some of it, and if he doesn't kill over dead, then okay. But remember how when that man had a dream, and the baker had a dream, and let's not talk about the baker's dream because nothing good comes of that. Very sad dream. But the cupbearer's dream, he said, you're going to get to return to the king's house. And you're going to get to be the cupbearer again. And that guy's like, yes. And Joseph said, please. And let's all stand. Joseph said, please, please, speak to me. Speak of my situation. You know that I'm in here and I'm innocent. That I didn't do this. Please speak to the Pharaoh on my behalf. And the cupbearer said, you got it, Joseph. I'm in it. But did the cupbearer go and speak to him on Pharaoh on Joseph's behalf? He ultimately did. But was it right away? A month later. I can't remember. Was it 2 years? I was thinking it was 2 full years. Carl, do you remember? I think it was 2 full years. And it says that he, as the King James says, he forgot. God's hand was on Joseph, and Joseph was ultimately delivered out of that prison. Joseph was elevated to the second highest position in all of Egypt. But it didn't turn around fast. It didn't happen fast. And Jeremiah told those Israelites living in Babylon, yes, there's going to come a day. God's going to bring you out of this land. And you're going to get to go back to your land. And God's but when that happens, God's blessings are going to be upon you and everything. But for right now, over here in Babylon, don't be back in your suitcase. Build houses. It's going to turn around, but it's not going to turn around fast.
Right.
And I'll just tell you, you've got to be in this for the long run. You've got to be in this thing for the whole business. You've got to be in for the whole business. Let's pray to God. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're so worthy, Lord. You're so worthy, God. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Jesus. I give you thanks and praise and glory and honor. Oh, hallelujah. Let's come around the front for just a few moments here. Just
thank you.
days like this, I would kind of get alone in this. But you know, I am thankful. And this is a good day. So all you dads out there, have a good day. In Jesus' name. Let's pray one more time. God, we're so thankful for you. God, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen.